for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
As we come to the Word, I'm going to be turning to the book of Colossians. If you get there in the book of Colossians, it will come up on the screen. Let's just ask Father's blessing upon reading of our precious word to all of our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for this precious word, this ancient book, yet relevant for our walk in this world each and every day. Not just relevant, but crucial for our walk in this world day by day. Therefore, Lord, touch our hearts by your word this morning and transform our lives afresh. Lord, that our lives would be more yielded, more conformed to your word, to your truth, and to the likeness of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless those, Lord, who are unable to be with us. There are many, but we do think particularly of our pastor, Pastor Graham Rhonda, who's got the flu, and for Paul and Kyle, we pray, Father, your gracious hand upon them as a family. And we ask, O God, that they will know the wonderful sense of your awesome presence in their midst, to touch and to bless and to heal and to minister into every facet of their lives today. Bless all, Lord, who are suffering, all who are sick at this time. We pray your gracious hand upon them too, Lord, and ask, Father, that they will know something, Lord, even in the midst of their sickness, of your amazing blessing this morning hour. And bless us here, Lord, now as we come to this precious word of truth. May, Lord, it do its own work through the empowering of your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll read together in Colossians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, through his blood the forgiveness of sins. Sorry, excuse me. It's an amazing little book, Book of Colossians. In Ephesians that we went through at one stage, of course, it could often be labeled the Church of Christ, but Colossians must surely be called the Christ of the Church. Because in Ephesians focuses on the body of Christ, but the focus in Colossians is on the head of the body. We come across this man called Epaphras, Pastor Epaphras. And one is led to believe in history that Epaphras came to know the Lord through the ministry of Paul in Ephesus. Ephesus being a church that was about 100 miles away from this little church of Colossae. Colossae, of course, a minor city, and 100 miles east of Ephesus. Located in that little fertile valley, in that area of those churches that we read of in Revelation, the churches of Asia Minor. That gives you a little idea of it, and I want to speak this morning now on praying for one another in love, praying for one another in love. Let me introduce a little bit more to you to give you deeper understanding, of course, of Paul's situation. Paul is in prison in Rome when writing to the Colossian believers, and at some point he is visited by the pastor of the church of Colossae, Epaphras. And apparently Epaphras had felt the need for some counsel. He had felt the need for some advice from this great mentor on how to handle the false teaching that was creeping on the fringes of the church of Colossae. This is the main purpose for the letter to the Colossians, to encourage the church, Paul writes, and to get the believers to be inspired to stick to the faith and to get rid of and reject false teaching and to continue to go on with Jesus. Of course, on the other hand, Epaphras didn't just bring difficult news or seek advice for bad news, for difficult news. He brought good news from the church at Colossae that heartened Paul, that encouraged Paul, that ministered to Paul in prison. There was a faithful band of believers in the church of Colossae. They had a strong faith, we are told. These verses that we read, they have an incredible, sincere love for fellow believers. And furthermore, they are motivated in Christian service, looking to the end goal, laying up treasure in heaven rather than on earth. And they had this great hope always before them on which they fixed their lives. And Paul therefore rejoices in their faith and rejoices in their hope and rejoices in their love. That's the good news of the church of Colossae. When we read through the book of Colossians, we come to realize that Paul had never actually visited the Colossian church. The believers here, unless they had seen him elsewhere, had never seen Paul face to face. He was unable to visit them now because he's in prison, and they needed him. They needed him because the false teaching was extremely perilous, and they needed the ministry, they needed the advice that he could provide for them. So being in prison, unable to visit them, what could Paul do? Two things he could do, and I should say one he's already doing. He could write them a letter, and he did. And he could pray for them, and he was already doing that. Interesting, in verse 9, it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." So it's not that Paul has started to pray for them. It's that Paul is already praying for Pastor Epaphras and for the church at Colossae. Paul's doing both now. In the present passage covers his prayer and what he asked God to do for the Colossian believers. He asked three things. He made three great requests, and he did this out of a deep love for Epaphras and for the church at Colossae that he had never been to. All three requests, I believe, are requests that are needed for every church, for every group of believers everywhere, and they are so relevant to our daily walk in the Christian faith. The intention of these three requests are to lead his readers to a deeper experience with the Lord and into a much stronger walk together as believers. In fact, to a deeper walk than most believers ever do experience. Every believer here this morning, including me, we should covet these three things and covet them diligently. Here they are. They are laid out for us very, very simply from verses 9 through 11. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." There's number one. That they might know God's will. In fact, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful consideration. Oh, that it may be a deep prayer in all of our hearts, for ourselves and in love for one another. The second thing is, verse 10, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. To walk worthy of Christ. That's the second element of the great prayer. The third element is this. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. To possess the power of God. To walk right in this world. Let's just deal with them one at a time. To know God's will, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Paul, because of the love that burned within the heart of the great apostle Paul, felt close to these believers, even from the distant prison cell. He had an affinity. After all, they are his brothers in Christ. And whatever we're doing in church life, wherever we may be, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We should never forget it, that we are rightly related to Christ through the finished work of the cross, but we are rightly related to one another because of the finished work of the cross. And so Paul did not just say, "I'll be praying for you." No, Paul is very specific. He is already praying. He will continue praying. And he relates to them how and what he is praying for. Paul's first prayer is that they will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Please note exactly what the scripture says here. We are to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. It is not enough to just know God's will. We are to be filled with the knowledge of His will. The will of God is to permeate our very being. The will of God is to affect our daily walk. It is to affect our thinking. It is to affect our speaking. It is to affect everything of our lives. Note also what is being talked about is not God's will for a particular little thing here and there in life or a few things. What is being talked about here by Paul is the whole scope of life. We are to be filled with the knowledge of His will for our daily living. God's will involves all of life, everything we do, every moment of every day. The will of God involves what we do, what we say, what we think. Simply stated, we are to live and move and have our being in the will of God. The easy opt-out clause for most is this: I pray, but I don't really know what the will of God is for my life. Well, if you're looking for something very specific, that can be a labor-intensive time in prayer. But if you really want to know the will of God for your life, just read the manual. That's your starting point. Don't think about any of the other issues of life until you have dealt with the real issues of living. How God wants us to live in relation to one another, in relation to the world, in relation to our work, in relation to everything. God's will for us involves our very behavior and our conduct. It reaches down into the depths of our imaginations and our thoughts. Imagine, even every thought is to be controlled by the will of God. Is that not what Paul was getting at 2 Corinthians 10:5? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The point is this: God tells us how to live life, and what He tells us is His will. Therefore, we are to study what God has said. We need to study to be a people who study God's word, who learn and gain all the knowledge we can about His will, about how to live. We are to study and learn until the knowledge of His will just floods our lives, floods us to such a degree that doing His will flows into our conduct, our behavior, into everything, until His word transforms our living. That is also what Paul is getting at to a major degree in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, or I appeal to you, whichever translation you use, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or your spiritual service or worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Note a most wonderful thing. This gripped me. Knowing God's will involves both wisdom and understanding. The person who is filled with God's will possesses wisdom and understanding, spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding. Wisdom comes from the Greek sophia, which means that a person knows the first principles or the basic principles of their Christian life. We need to know them. Secondly, understanding, synesthesia, which means that a person has the ability to apply the basic principles to everyday life, in the decisions, in the directions of life. You see, that's why Paul exhorted us so many times in Scripture, but we think of, for example, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's why Proverbs 2:1-2 says, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Time in the Word, but time in prayer. If any man lacks wisdom, said James, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Paul could have asked for many things for these believers. I'm sure they would have appreciated prayer for times of persecution. I'm sure they would have appreciated, Lord, don't let those who are attacking the church at present and trying to sow false doctrine, don't let them succeed, Lord. Lord, give them their daily bread. Help them in their daily needs. But Paul was concerned that they would grow to be strong Christians in love for one another. And Paul asked for the most important things, to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Secondly, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, of course, you will notice that there is no full stop. It is directly linked to the first part of Paul's prayer, because spiritual understanding teaches us how to walk worthy of the Lord. We gain spiritual understanding, we gain spiritual wisdom through prayer, through study of God's word, through worship. And to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord is a critical point for the believer. It is the point that must be preached and taught time and time and time again. We need it in our nation as never before. We need to come back to basics, if you like. We gain spiritual understanding not through hype, but through very simple basics: the Word of God, and prayer, and worship. We need to be reminded that it is not enough to know God's will. It is not enough to possess wisdom. It is not enough to possess the basic principles of Christian life. It is not even enough to possess understanding. We have to have the ability. But that's not even enough. To have the ability to apply the basic principles to life and everyday living, it's like soap, unless it's actually applied, it doesn't help the face. Knowing something, having the ability to do something, are very important, but they involve only head knowledge. The critical point, friends, for each and every one of us is putting what we know into practice. In other words, very simply, it is living out the will of God in our practical daily living. Knowing the will of God is of no value until we have committed our lives to do it. James talks about that many times, like going and looking at the face in the mirror and so on. Going away and forgetting what sort of man he is. We can see. We can know. We can even understand. But until we apply the understanding and live it out, It is to no effect. The word walk, coming from that Greek word peripatasi, means that we set our lives, our behavior and conduct after Christ. That's what it means in when it's amplified out. The word worthy, coming from the Greek word axios, means to have the weight or to weigh as something worthy. West, in his commentary on Ephesians and Colossians, says this means an amazing thing. Our walk is to weigh as much, he says, as the walk of Christ. After all, do the scriptures not to exhort us and tell us to, that we are to walk even as Jesus walked? West goes on, he said, our conduct is to conform to the will of God as much as the conduct of Christ. We are to live a life just as worthy as the life of Christ. The will of God is to control our behavior as much as it did the behavior of Christ. Here's how he finishes. Christ is the pattern and we are the copy. The copy is to be just like the pattern. That's volume one of West on Ephesians and Colossians. How is such a walk possible? This is the point. How is it possible? There is only one way. We must be totally committed to do two things. We must be fruitful in every good work. That is, we must do what the scripture says. Every good work. Note the word every. It is everything that God says is to be done. Dealing with God is just like dealing with anyone at a base level. You know, if Johnny has the flu this morning, but you know he works in planning. Someone comes in and says, I want a plan of my house drawn. I want this and that. And, oh, I want the bathroom to look like this and so on. And some weeks later, they come back and have you, oh, yes, I've done a great job. I think you'll be pleased with this. And he lays them all out. And the man says, well, this is really only half a house. Am I right? Is this only half a house? Oh, yeah, but look how I've done this half house. Isn't it beautiful? You see, no person is pleased when we only do half of what they have actually asked us to do. That's why Jesus did everything that the Father gave him to do. Total obedience to the will of the Father. You can take that to any job that you want. You go in for surgery. Surgeon is very skilled. He knows exactly what to do. You're in the operating theater and you come out and your wife or husband, depending, comes and said, well, how did things go? And he says, well, what I did, I believe I did extremely well. I did half of the operation, you understand, and it's really good. I'm very skilled, you know. What would you think? Half a job or no job? Doesn't make any difference at this point because everything's tainted, everything's ruined. No person is pleased when we do half of what they have asked us to do. To please anyone, we have to do all that they say. How much more true is that with God? Do we please Him? Because to please Him, we must do every good We must follow the manual. Live our lives. And though I know that we fail, many times that we stumble, but we have to set the sail to do all that he asks us to do. When we stumble along the way, he understands. When we fail along the way, he understands. If our hearts are there to do everything that he set us to do. David, the man after God's own heart, failed along the way. And so many in Scripture we read failed along the way like Peter. But he'd set his heart to do all that God had wanted him to do. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Paul said that they do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Paul, writing to Titus, said, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing in corruptness, gravity, sincerity." Hebrews tells us to provoke one another. Let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. You feel provoked this morning? Well, Paul did it out of love, and I do it out of love, and I provoke myself. We need to grow in the knowledge of God. The way we get to know God is the same way we get to know anyone. It is to associate ourselves with him, to fellowship with him, to share with him. And so as we read his word and we learn how to live and we come in prayer and in fellowship and in worship, we draw near to him. He draws near to us. I believe that we need to learn some things again. We need to learn to walk by faith. Paul exhorted the Corinthians, "For we walk by faith," he said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "and not by sight." We need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We need to learn to walk in love, Paul says in Ephesians 5:2, "and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We need to learn again to walk in the light. As Paul again writes to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5:8, "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We need to walk carefully or circumspectly, as he writes in Ephesians 5:15, "See then, you walk circumspectly or carefully and strictly, not as fools, but as wise." You see, sometimes we so search for the will of God in the little things pertaining to this part of life or that part of life that we miss the main picture. All those things are the will of God for our lives. How is my walk? How is your walk? The third thing is, third element of Paul's prayer, is they might know the power of God. God's power is an absolute essential for the believer. You say this in Pentecostal circles and people start thinking of all sorts of things. Well, let me bring it to base first. We need the power of God just to walk right in this world and to live right with our fellow believers and to relate to the unbelievers. We need the power of God for that. Before we think of of all of the other things as precious, and they are so precious, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and all, so precious, and would that there were more. But we need the power of God, because can you do God's will in your own strength? Can you do this in your own strength? If you can, please sit down beside me and help me, because I can't. Can you walk worthy of Christ in your own strength? Can you do it? What good is it if the believer knows God's will, but he does not have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to do it? How can the believer walk worthy of Christ if he does not have the power of the Holy Spirit to walk daily in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts, the stinking lusts of the flesh? This power comes from God and from God alone. He never meant for us to be lone wolves trying to make our own way through life after we were saved. He meant for us to avail of everything that he had laid at our disposal, that we might be enabled to walk this walk and to do this life and to occupy until he come. And the church at Colossae are going to need God's power to continue to walk in the truth by faith, to walk in love and to withstand those who would seek to bring them into heresy and to immobilize their fruitfulness and effectiveness for the Lord. And the devil can just get you walking in the flesh and trying to sort things and do life without the power of the Holy Spirit. He can immobilize you into fruitlessness and ineffectiveness. That's all he needs. Now note the result of God's power. Note the result of it, friends. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Didn't think you need power for that, did you? We don't like this long suffering, but we want it all to be over and all to be chandelier type of experience. Life's not like that. If your life is like that and everything is just plain sailing upwards and onwards into the blue skies all the time, please let me know. Write it all down for me. Life is not like that. That is why we need the power of God to give us patience. Hupomonion is the Greek word, patience, endurance, fortitude, steadfastness, constancy, perseverance. It could be translated any one of those, and all are relevant. The word patience, friends, think about this. I want you to think. The word patience, you see, it's not passive. We think of patience as being something, just get into an easy chair and stick the feet up and just have to wait this out, you know. No, God never intended it to be like that, and we've got the wrong definition of patience. It is active in Scripture. Patience is active. It is not the spirit that just sits back and puts up with the trials of life, taking whatever may come. Rather, it is that spirit that stands up with endurance and fortitude and steadfastness and constancy and perseverance and says, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. My faith is in Christ and in Christ alone, and in him I live and have my very being. That's the patience he talks about. The spirit that stands up and faces the trial of life actively goes about conquering and to conquer and to overcome, but yet to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Is that the sort of patience you thought of? That's the patience of Scripture. We need the power of God, the Holy Spirit, for our Christian walk. Remember Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And then ask myself, and you ask yourself, is this what is growing in your life today? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is where the rubber hits the road. The believer is to walk bearing God's nature. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And note that the word fruit is singular. It doesn't say fruits. The Holy Spirit has one fruit. It is broken into a list of traits or characteristics that outwork the Spirit. When he lives within a person, all those traits, all those characteristics should be growing and should be evident of a life with Christ. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And I finish with something I read. A man called Matt Serger. Now, Billy's very scholarly, and he may know this man personally. I don't know. I never heard of him. But I read an article of his. Matt Serger. S-O-R-G-E-R. Do you know him? I'd never heard of him. But I wrote his article. I stumbled across his article, oddly enough. But you see, in Christian walk, I don't believe that you just perchance. I believe it's all of God to show you something, to help you along the way. And it was in the November 2012 Charisma magazine, a little article entitled Walk in God's Supernatural Power. And you can Google it. Matt Serger. Walk in God's Supernatural Power. The magazine is online, of course, you see. So, here's what he said. He said, walking intimately with him and having a deep grounding in his word are essential for him to release tremendous power through us. Another thing I've learned about God's power and gifts is that although they flow out of his grace and are activated by faith, personal preparation in the areas of character, integrity, and holiness enable us to sustain a constant flow of his power through our lives. I thought that was so well put. He continues, however, we must always remember that he is the source, and it is by his grace that we are qualified to be partakers of his heavenly glory. It has nothing to do with our efforts or works. If it did, we could take some of the credit. Since it doesn't, God gets all the glory. He continues. He wants to develop our character so we will be grounded in Christ and will properly steward the power he pours through us. But you don't have to wait until you are a mature Christian to allow God to use you. You can begin to operate in the Spirit the moment Christ enters your heart. The reason being, of course, that you become a new creation in Christ Jesus and you walk in newness of life. So I finish. The more that you can cultivate an environment that's conducive to the Holy Spirit, the more of God's presence you and I will carry. And the more of his presence you and I carry, the more power you will have to fulfill what he wants you to do. This, friends, is practical, practical Christianity in every church if we are to be the type of people that God really wants us to be and to do the things he wants us to do. May Paul's unceasing prayer, because that's what it is, it's an unceasing prayer, do not cease to pray for you. May it be answered in my life. May it be answered in our lives, in our church this day. May Paul's prayer become our prayer, so that in love we will pray this prayer for one another. Oh, that we would pray this for one another and pray it not seeking to judge one another, but seeking to love one another with an inexhaustible love that wants to bring out the best in every one of us. May you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, and that you may, in order to do it, be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might. Amen. Amen. And God bless you this morning. It's practical stuff, friends. It touched my heart. I hope it's touched yours this morning. Good,
and your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.